Good morning, everyone. I am from University of Wisconsin-Madison. I work with Dr. Joe Lauer on corn rotation effect on greenhouse gases emission. And I will be presenting to you today, you know, with the beautiful Polish accent. So agriculture currently is challenged by many new by many events that were not presented before, including frequent extreme events such as droughts or floodings, and those events are predicted to be more often in the future. We have experienced a little bit of them in our research time period, where in 2012 was very very dry, and 2013 very wet and cold over the season, and this negatively impacted our production. There will be issues associated with warmer nights, increased frost-free season length, as well as increased humidities. They are all basically connected to increases of greenhouse gases that trap the heat in the atmosphere and warms our planet. The research I will be describing to you today is part of a big cooperative project called Sustainable Corn. And please visit our website, sustainablecorn.org. This is the project that gathers more than 200 scientists from 11 different institutions, and we all together try to study the practices that have a potential to increase the resiliency of the systems, as well as reduce nutrients and soil losses, but ensure crop productivity. And this project is sponsored by USDA and NIFA, which we are very thankful to. In our site, we study extended crop rotations, which one of those practices that might have those positive effects on the systems. We have three locations. These are long-term experiments that have stabilized conditions within the treatments over the years. So these are perfect places to collect gases. We hope that they have equal differences thanks to the long-term period. We collected greenhouse gases data of carbon dioxide, CO2, nitrous oxide, N2O, and methane during the growing seasons only, from 2012 to 2014. Our Arlington mother station, the measurements were taken every week, and every second week we took measurements from Lancaster and Marshfield stations. The studied rotations were continuous corn, corn soybeans, and corn soybean wheat, with all phases always present in a given year. So we basically hope that by adding more crops into the rotations, which require less nitrogen input, we can lower the greenhouse gases emission, which were our main concern was, of course, with on nitrous oxide, that was well described with my previous our previous presenter. We use Ventic static chamber method to collect the greenhouse gases. There were two buckets always installed in each plot. We collected samples almost 200 times over the research period, and we use HMR package in R to estimate the rate of changes within the chambers. We ended up with more than 5,000 flux estimates for each gas. Our experimental design was randomized complete block design, where we treated locations, rotations, and phases as a fixed effect, year as a random effect, and plot as a repeated statement, which plot is our lowest experimental unit. The main objectives of the research were, as I already mentioned, to describe, characterize long-term crop rotation effect on greenhouse gases emissions, to investigate effects of crop rotations on plant water availability and soil carbon, when we actually collected a bunch of soil samples and analyzed for water retention, bulk density, and other key physical properties of soils, to measure crop productivity in relation to carbon and nitrogen assimilation within corn plant. We wanted to have more knowledge about carbon and nitrogen cycling in the system. and we use all this data to simulate future crop rotation behaviors under different climate change scenarios. We validated Descent model, which this work is still in progress. I will mainly focus on objective number one during the rest of the talk, but all of them will be a little bit discussed too. I will start off talking about our results of each individual phase of every rotation. I will present you the three-year averages of each gas, and the figure here presents you the nitrous oxide emissions. The units are kilograms of nitrous oxide per hectare per year. At the x-axis you see the all three locations and rotations above, and each phase is included. The yellow color is corn, blue soybeans, and blue and green wheat. The same we did for carbon dioxide and for methane. But notice that the units have changed in carbon dioxide to megagrams. I will start off with talking about nitrous oxide. So as you see on the figure, we recorded high emissions of nitrous oxide, which is mostly associated with hard demand of this crop to nitrogen. We applied 200 pounds of nitrogen at Lancaster and Marshfield stations for each phase, and they all corresponded with high emissions. You might notice that Marshfield has the lowest one for in corn phases. Then it was attributed to actually lower nitrogen applications, because the locations were managed differently based on best management recommendations at each stations, and Marshfield was our far northest station, and the recommendations were much lower for nitrogen over there. But even though we've seen everywhere significant differences between the phases of corn versus soybeans and wheat, we didn't see any differences between soybeans and wheat, however. In case of CO2, the highest emissions were at Arlington and Lancaster stations, and again Marshfield had the lowest emissions, which is associated with location just itself, and meaning that we actually captured some phase and bilocation interaction. And still the corn phases, they emitted the highest amount of carbon dioxide, which were significant, different from other crops, which is mostly attributed to high root biomass of this crop and higher respiratory losses in the corn plants. In the case of methane, but generally there were soils tend to be little methane sink, which actually they take up some methane over the research period. Where at Marshfield, we noticed a little bit of emissions of methane. Marshfield station is station characterized with having poorly drained soils, and methane can be emitted by organic matter decay, and this probably contributed to a little bit fluxes in some of the phases. But we didn't see any significant differences between the phases across. So now when we look after looking at the each phase, I will characterize actually rotation effect, where we average the phases and could see actually how what the potential reducing potential is of each rotation. The darkest colors are still continuous corn, and orange corn soybean, and lightest corn soybean wheat. Everything basically stays the same on this figure as in the previous one. But these are three averages between phases, just to emphasize one more time. Nitrous oxide was so in average, we've seen that continuous corn emitted the highest amounts of nitrous oxide in each location, where Arlington had the highest amount emitted and Marshfield the lowest. And the patterns stayed the same across the locations. However, we didn't see any significant differences between adding third crop into rotation where soybean and wheat were equal, even though there is a little pattern, but not significant. In case of carbon dioxide, Lancaster and Arlington research stations were the same. Marshfield was the lowest, which is very similar to the previous findings in a previous slide, and continuous corn emitted higher amounts of carbon dioxide, more, and corn soybean and corn wheat were not significantly different. In methane, we didn't see any differences among the rotations. There were only the location differences, as the same as described before. So after collecting all this data in 3 years, we actually decided to do a little more with this. We had a very precise information about the weather, about soil conditions growing there, and management information, plant data about each cultivar. Therefore, we used process-based model DASENT, which is able to simulate exchanges of carbon, nitrogen, nutrients, and greenhouse gases among soil, atmosphere, and vegetation to see how can predict our actual data that we collected, to be able to maybe find out some answers to the questions that we were not able to measure over the research period. I will show you just next two slides some examples. We did actually comparisons of model of DASENT results to measurement data on crop yields, on nitrous oxide, our actually key variable of interest, and water moisture, soil moisture, and soil temperature. This figure presents you the actual data that was collected, and these are the averages over the last 10 years. And here is how actually DASENT predicted the yield, which is very close to the very close correlation. And we use DASENT in this figure to actually estimate the nitrous oxide emissions that might have occurred during the winter time that we were not able to measure because our measurement technique didn't allow us to do this. So according to DASENT, nitrous oxide during the winter might have been actually additionally emitted substantially. From if you look at the rotation figure, these are the same figures as you've seen before. Actually, winter and post-season emissions might have contributed from 10 to 44 extra fluxes, according to DASENT, but this we cannot validate, unfortunately. Our key points that I want to make are that nitrous oxide emissions in corn phases were mostly attributed to higher nitrogen fertilizer inputs. There were no difference of continuous corn and corn soybean rotation. However, they were both better than continuous corn in reducing nitrous oxide. Our post-season emissions contributed 10 to 44% according to DASENT of nitrous oxide. And overall, this result can provide a better understanding how weather conditions and field management can affect greenhouse gases emission from agricultural soils. With that, I would like to acknowledge all the important people who helped me over the years to perform this research. We have probably enough time to emphasize each person's contribution, but I'm very, very glad that I met those people over the years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Now I'll have your question.
We have time for one question, if anybody has a question.
I didn't present this actually information.
Did that give you some idea?
Yes. We actually had a very close agreement with measured data with DASENT, and we mainly focus on actually growing season. The data that we collected, we actually interested in simulating the climate change projections and this winters and post-season emissions are like additional thing that we cannot fully validate because we didn't measure it, but thanks to other agreements with Dyson, we are hoping that, yeah, this could be that much.
Thank you very much. Maybe later we need to go on.